Lancaster Baptist Podcast features the dynamic preaching and teaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, the senior pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church. The purpose of this podcast is to help others love God, grow together through the teaching of God's Word, and serve others in the name of Jesus Christ.
Let's take our Bibles tonight and turn to the book of Proverbs, if you would. Proverbs 25. And we're going to stay in our book study tonight, but just cover a few verses. And I would like to have a briefer Bible study so that we can do something that is as needed, and that is spend time in prayer and ask the Lord to bless the Sunday services as well. And so let's stand together. Proverbs 25, verses 11 through 13. I've entitled the Bible study tonight, "We Have a Message." We have a message. And I want you to learn about the message with me from Proverbs 25, and beginning in verse number 11, just 11, 12, and 13 tonight, and then we'll have one more song and then get right into our Bible study. Proverbs 25, 11, "A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in pictures of silver. As an earring of gold and an ornament of fine gold, so is a wise reprover upon an obedient ear. As the cold of snow in the time of harvest, so is a faithful messenger to them that send him, for he refresheth the soul of his masters." Shall we pray? Father in heaven, we thank you for the refreshing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Help us this week as we take the message to the valley and as we preach the message this Sunday morning, Lord, that you would be pleased, that you would empower, and that you, Lord, would touch and save souls. And Father, we're excited to be a part of your work, and we're thankful that we have a message. So bless it, Lord, tonight, I pray in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. The story is told of a Baptist missionary who was traveling to a far eastern country, and as he was traveling to this remote part of the world, he was on a plane next to a man that looked to be a fairly decent type of a person, maybe a businessman, he thought. The missionary was going to this country for the very first time, and so he struck up some conversation, and he said, "Now, tell me about this place. How do you get relationships with people?" He said, I'm going there for the first time, and I'd like to know how to reach out and get to know families." And he didn't identify himself particularly as a missionary right up front. He just had said he was traveling there and wanting to get to know people and how to get to know about the villages and how to get to know maybe the families and the children and so forth. Before he could really get into the conversation, the man in the seat next to him said, "Look," he said, "we've already been to the villages in this country." He said, "In fact, I can introduce you to the villages." And he said, "In fact," he said, "I know where you're going," he said to this American missionary. He said, "We know how to get to their children." And he said, "And we know how to get whatever you want out of those children. And in fact, we've even been able to bring some of them to the States under the radar." And as the conversation was going, the missionary suddenly realized the sickening truth that this man was talking about exploiting children and trafficking children and abusing children, and that he was involved in human trafficking. And the missionary realized that while he had not even arrived yet to give the gospel to these villages, that there had already been perverted men going to those villages with the sole idea of abusing the children of the villages. I say to you tonight that the devil is very, very busy getting his message out. The devil is busy even going overseas to abuse and pervert children. The devil is busy sending false witnesses around the world with false doctrine. Oh, how we thank God for our missionaries coming in just a few days, and how we need to get them overseas to the gospel with the gospel ministry. But I want you to know that while we send missionaries to Russia, like Brother Young, who will be with us in a few weeks, there are thousands of Jehovah Witness missionaries and Mormon missionaries and missionaries of all false doctrine that are going, missionaries so-called, around the world with their false teaching. And tonight, as I think about all of the religious activity and all of those that go from place to place with their false gospels, I can simply say with joy tonight, I'm glad that we truly have the gospel message that we can preach. I'm thankful that we're not spinning our wheels, going around with some Johnny-come-lately version or Johnny-come-lately prophet or some false testimony, but that we truly have the message of the gospel, the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. And tonight, as we give so much effort this week in door knocking and the open house Sunday and the classes and ushers serving an extra hour and choir members giving their extra effort and everybody just kind of going crazy this week in the realm of getting the gospel out, I think it's good just to pause and remember that it's worth every minute of it because we have a true, true message. And so I want you to see that with me very quickly tonight. Notice, first of all, in verse 11, the Bible says, "A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in pictures of silver." I want you to see, first of all, that we have a priceless message. We have a priceless message. How do you put a price on the gospel of Jesus Christ? And notice we speak appropriate words. The Bible says a word fitly spoken, properly, with propriety. The most valued and appropriate words that we can ever really speak are the words of the gospel of Jesus Christ. A word that is fitly spoken, the Bible says, is like apples of gold in pictures of silver. Think of what the Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 23. "Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever." And notice verse 25, "But the word of our Lord endureth forever, and this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you." Thank God tonight for this word fitly spoken. Thank God that we have the privilege of going out and preaching and teaching. I was looking at the gospel tracts as we were passing them out this week, and I was reading on the front about the open house Sunday, and I flipped it over, and what a wonderful gospel message is on the back of that brochure, how to have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. And I'm thankful that we have this proper message that can go out. It's appropriate words that make this a priceless message. It's the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. Notice, secondly, these are accurate words. Accurate words. And I want you to see in verse 11, it says, "A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in pictures of silver." God's word paints an accurate and priceless picture of truth. God's word is pure. Like apples of gold in pictures of silver, the word of God is appropriate, but the word of God is accurate. As I said just a moment ago, the Mormons have a Bible, so-called, a Book of Mormon. They have the Pearl of Great Price, which frankly most of their doctrines come from these types of writings from a so-called prophet. And I want you to understand something, that they are filled with impurity and filled with man's ideas and filled with false teachings such as getting baptized for your dead relatives and a million other things. I want you to understand tonight that what we're preaching is the pure, unadulterated Word of God, Gospel of Jesus Christ. It is apples of gold in pictures of silver, and we're going out and we have a priceless message, and it's not for sale. We're not selling the message. It is a free gift to all who believe. How we thank the Lord for that. The Bible says in 1 Timothy 2:4 that God will have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 10. "The preacher sought to find out acceptable words, and that which was written was upright, even words of truth." And how about this verse, soul winners, tonight? Would you look at this in 1 Peter 3:15? It says, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh a reason of the hope that is within you with meekness and fear." You know what? We're supposed to be ready at any moment to share the wonderful, pure gospel of Jesus Christ with anybody, anytime. And so we have a priceless message tonight, and I'm so thankful for that. We're not going door-to-door selling pots and pans or vacuums. That's honorable if that's what you do for a living, but we have the privilege of going out with the pure gospel of Jesus Christ. Notice, secondly, it's a purposeful message. Verse 12, "As an earring of gold and an ornament of fine gold, so is a wise reprover upon an obedient ear." Now, I want you to see the purpose of this message. And the purpose of the message, first of all, is to bring warning. It is to bring warning. And I understand that most of us are not going to go out, you know, from door to door with a sign that says, "Turn or burn." Okay, I recognize that. I don't recommend that tactic. But I hope you realize that in love, there's some truth to that message. Because God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to what? Repentance. He wants everyone to turn and believe on His Son. Now, notice this warning. The purposeful message, first of all, is given to bring a warning. And we see it's a fitting message. And this is an unusual phrase, but it says, as an earring of gold and an ornament of fine gold. So the message fits the ear as does an earring. It is a valuable message, and as an earring of gold and an ornament of fine gold, so is a wise reprover upon an obedient ear. You see, this message is a befitting message, it's a needful message, it's a beautiful message, and it is a message that brings reproof. And so while we might say, well, turn or burn, boy, that's harsh, and that doesn't really fit the way that we would maybe say it. The fact of the matter is, everybody deserves to hear the gospel message of Jesus Christ. And it is a fitting message that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. And notice what it says there in verse 12. It says, so is a wise reprover. Okay, look it. Even as a beautiful earring upon the ear, so is a wise reprover. Can I substitute that tonight with Proverbs 11:30? He that winneth souls is wise. A witness, a soul winner, a testimony. You see, look at right here. To the world, someone knocking on the door and talking about Jesus is weird. Talking about repentance is strange. And we might be to the Antelope Valley, to the citizens of the Antelope Valley at times, you know, just kind of an unwanted appendage, you know. Here come those Baptists again, and they're just kind of telling us all the time about Jesus. And the world might think that we're unsightly. They said of the Apostle Paul in Thessalonica, he was a pestilent fellow, all right? And I'm telling you that any Christian who has a testimony for the Lord and has a strong witness is not going to be Mr. Cool. Like so many churches today try to find coolness and acceptability. There's going to come a point if you tell the truth of the gospel, you're not going to be deemed cool by this world. So the world might see us as, you know, strange. But the Bible is giving us the biblical perspective on the messenger. And notice that in verse 12, it says, so is a wise reprover, all right? So the Bible-based reprover, or the one who's going out saying, look, there is a heaven, there is a hell, there is a God who loves us, and He doesn't want us to spend eternity without Him. God says that what you are, from His perspective, is a beautiful ornament. You are like a gold earring in this illustration. Not something that is ugly, not something that is harsh, not something that is unnecessary, but something that is beautiful. And in a beautiful way, we bring reproof, and we are the salt and the light. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 11 says, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. Now, folks, we're to go out as a beautiful ornament with the grace of God on our lives, with a purposeful message, and that is to reprove men who are living their lives without God, and they're living their life without the Word of God, and to let them know that Jesus is the way. How many of you are aware America is becoming more and more pluralistic? More and more into the idea that all roads lead to the same place. And God has placed us here with a reproving message. I don't think we need to be harsh or obstinate in our spirit, but we have a message that reproves this idea that just any old way is fine. There was an American religious information survey done in the last few months, and they polled about 54,000 Americans regarding religious identity and religious beliefs. This is interesting. One of the findings of their study was that only 27% of all of those polled out of 54,000, only 27% expected to have a religious funeral. Only 27% expected at the end of their life a pastor giving a eulogy, a church place of gathering. And I think that's indicative of where America is headed. Most Americans don't seem to think they need God or the church or any type of a gathering for such an event, even as a funeral. And I'm simply saying that we, from God's perspective, are an ornament of beauty, taking a warning message out to a needy, needy world. Luke 12 and verse 5. But I will forewarn you whom ye shall fear. Fear him which after he hath killed hath power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him. In other words, there needs to be a fear of God in our land. There needs to be an understanding of eternal life in heaven or hell. And that's not going to come from television or from liberal churches or pluralism. It will come from Bible-believing Christians who buy the truth and sell it not. So we're to bring warning. But then we also are to bring life. Our message is a life-giving message. Now notice, if you would, what it says in verse 12. As an earring of gold and as an ornament of fine gold, so is a wise reprover, all right? That's the godly Christian, the godly witness. Notice the next phrase, upon an obedient ear, upon an obedient ear. So I'm like an earring, a beautiful ornament from God's perspective. I'm giving the message to this disobedient man who has rejected Christ. He's living for himself. But now he hears the message and he obeys that message. And now he's an obedient man. Now the Bible refers to him in verse 12 as an obedient ear. And how many of you believe this? That when a man, a woman, boy or girl this week hears the message, they feel the reproof of the Holy Spirit, they are obedient to the gospel, to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. How many of you understand that's a beautiful thing? Because now, though they were dead, now they live. Because they're no longer rejecting Jesus. They're believing on Jesus. Proverbs 14:27, the fear of the Lord is a fountain of life. Would you say that with me? The fear. Now, your friend at work can go on his way acting like he doesn't need the Lord. But when a man is reproved, maybe by your testimony, maybe by your witness, maybe by your giving a gospel tract, that reproves him. And the Holy Spirit uses that reproof and he believes on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now then, he is saved and he has eternal life. Jesus said in John 5:24, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death to life. I say to you tonight, we have a priceless message as apples of gold in pictures of silver. The word of God, the gospel of Jesus Christ is priceless. Amen? I say to you, secondly, we have a purposeful message. We are going out, not with turn or burn, not with a pugnacious attitude, but we are going out with a message to the Antelope Valley that they need to turn to the Lord Jesus Christ and have an obedient ear. That's the message. Thirdly, we have a persistent messenger. And we are to be persistent messengers. Now let's close with verse 13. And this is a great verse. As the cold of snow in the time of harvest, so is a faithful messenger. How many of you just like those two words, faithful messenger? Amen. How many of you want to be a faithful messenger? I want to be a faithful messenger. I mean, I don't want to have blood on my hands. I want to use every opportunity that God gives me to get the gospel out. And so, as the cold of snow in the time of harvest, so is a faithful messenger to them that send him, for he refresheth the soul of his masters. Now look it. Who is the one that has sent us? Who is our master, please? Talk to me. Jesus is our master. Jesus is the one that said, go into all the world. How many of you want to be a faithful messenger for your master? Keep it personal. Look right here. This is not the church trying to get you to come out Saturday morning at 8:45. We're facilitating something that Jesus commanded. I get tickled with people, and no one said anything. No one, we have a great spirit in our church, but over the years, sometimes people get a little frustrated at like the church is making us do this and that. Look at folks. If the church is encouraging you to do what Jesus did, you're in a good church. Jesus said, go into all the world, so we're just having a special week where we go to every door. We're just trying to do what Jesus told us to do. So what we want to be is we want to be faithful messengers for the master, right? He's our master. How many of you want to hear him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant? Now we want to, first of all, we want to be consistent. So notice the verse 13, as the cold of snow in the time of harvest. Now, from some studies and reading that I did, all the way back to 1500 BC, there were civilizations that were using in the Holy Land snowpack and ice to preserve food.
And when you visit the Holy Land, at the northernmost part of Israel is the city of Dan. Sometimes you'll hear people say, we did the tour from Dan to Beersheba, all right, from the north to the south. And Tel Dan is an ancient city, and it's a very, very beautiful part of Israel. And it is where the headwaters of the Jordan River are. And it's beautiful for many reasons, but to see the river in a desert land is always beautiful. And it's interesting because as we stood there and looked up to Mount Hermon, which the headwaters of the Jordan River are just right at the Golan Heights, not far from Syria, and the tour guide said, if you look up here, you'll see Mount Hermon. And, you know, we had little maps. We're trying to get everything in perspective. He said, if you look over here, you'll see a town in Lebanon. If you look up here, you know, I mean, I'm used to the four corners. You know, there's Utah, there's Arizona. You know what I'm saying? And did you know there's four corners? Utah, Arizona, Colorado, and New Mexico, or whatever. You know, we used to take our kids to the four corners and put a foot in one state and a foot in one state and a hand in one state and a hand in another state. If you've never done that, it's a real thrill. You can buy Indian jewelry. It's a great experience. So, you know, I'm used to saying there's Arizona, there's Colorado. But, you know, when someone's going, now there's Lebanon and there's Syria, you're like, whoa, you know, we are in the Holy Land. And there's Mount Hermon. And from Mount Hermon, about 9,000 feet in elevation, there's a snowpack that develops. And that snowpack faithfully provides the headwaters that come down through the Jordan River and on down in through Israel. And many times, the farmers would depend upon the snow that would come at the end of the harvest for the preservation of their crops. And they would even go up to Mount Hermon and gather snowpack for the purpose of preserving until they could get to market some of their crops. And so it was a beautiful thing for the farmers to see the change of the weather, something like we saw today, and to see the snowpack coming and the colder weather to preserve the harvest. Now it says, as the cold of snow in the time of harvest, something that's refreshing and preserving. How many of you believe the local New Testament church should be preserving? You know, sharper citizens in the Antelope Valley thank God that Lancaster Baptist Church is on the east side of Lancaster. And they view it as a preserving element in this society. Good neighbors, you know, involved in supporting law enforcement, keeping the law, paying for what we take out of Walmart. So the point is that in verse number 13, when it says, as snow in the time of harvest, so is a faithful messenger to them that send him. The message that we send, like that snow that preserves the crop, our message is Jesus, and Jesus preserves the society. Jesus changes people from the inside out, okay? Proverbs 25:25, as cold waters to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country. You know what our message is this week to the Antelope Valley? Jesus saves. Jesus saves, all right? We want to be consistent with that. Secondly, we want to be committed with that. He is faithful in the delivery of the message. Now, I could preach on this for a while, but I already lost my Starbucks just about 60 seconds ago, so. But I'm going to tell you something, folks. Every one of us should say, Lord, I want to be a faithful messenger. And I want you to see that as we close. So is a faithful messenger to them that send him, for he refresheth the soul of his master. Look right here. Wouldn't it be great? And I understand we're under grace, I understand that, but just imagine our master looking down from heaven and seeing all of us together Saturday morning and going out knocking on doors, faithful like the cold of harvest, faithful like the snow on Mount Hermon, faithful to the Lord. And wouldn't it be something to know that we refresh the heart of our master? And certainly that should be our desire. You say, well, I don't have to try to please God. I'm under grace. Oh, really? Have you read 2 Timothy lately when it says that we may please him who hath chosen us to be a good soldier? Let's not be so antinomian in our discussions of grace that we feel like there's not the idea that Christians can please and displease God. There are Christians who please and displease God. And what this text teaches us is that when we're faithful messengers, we refresh our master. And so Galatians 6:9, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Amen? Let us not be weary as messengers. Oh man, I got to go out again with the message. Don't get tired of it. Don't go, man, I wish I was in a church that had one service a week and a rock and roll band and no soul winning. You know, entertain me. Don't get me involved in work, you know. Look at, when we see the Lord, when we stand before our Master, we're going to be thrilled bringing in the sheaves and rejoicing that we were faithful witnesses for Jesus Christ. And so tonight, I just want to challenge you that we have a message. It is a priceless message. It is a purposeful message to bring reproof to the hearts of this nation. And we are to be persistent messengers, just like the faithful snow of fall, faithfully proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let me remind you that you can receive a daily devotional by logging on at dailyintheword.org. If you'd like more Bible study materials, you can also visit strivingtogether.com. Anything we can do to help and encourage you in the work of our Lord Jesus Christ, we would count that as a great honor. God bless you.